I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty you, real.
He is terrible!
You gotta know how many wieners are going down these two stones.
I'm gonna go quick, because I don't give a fuck about anything that's gonna happen on Saturday.
Hello, boys! It's February. It looks like it's gonna be a short winter, which is a good thing, because I'm getting the hell tired of the cold. Welcome to this week's MMA Analysis Podcast. We got the Four Horsemen, or something like that, this week. I'll start with Ashley Judd's biggest fan. I heard he was down in Lexington. I heard he saw a victory. Is that true? Wes Colvin? Did you see a victory in person? In your first trip to Rupp in I don't know how long?
Yeah. It's been a while. Good time. 21 point faves though. We didn't look
as sure as hell hope they won.
Yeah. I was, our boy Maddie, you know, was like, they're going to escort my ass out of there. I'd have never went to another Kentucky game in my life if we would have lost to Vandy at home. That's for sure.
Fair enough.
Good time though. Good time.
I hear it's still like negative 30 up in God's country, Canada.
Erroneous. Erroneous.
That's erroneous.
It is.
What is beautiful in February?
It's 0 degrees Celsius. I think that's what, 32 Fahrenheit.
Oh wow, that is a heat wave.
That's beautiful. Shit's melting. The shitty part is it melts during the day and then freezes at night. So it's a goddamn skating rink everywhere.
Well, I mean, you're used to that. I thought there's a skating rink on every corner.
There basically is. So, I mean, I guess we're used to that. It's just kind of annoying. But we'll take that over minus 40 any day. It's definitely been worse. That's for sure.
Now, back this week, I hear he's sulking a lot. It's Jimmy G's forearm bodyguard. Lance Fischl.
Are
you okay? Oh, okay.
No, yeah, we need to hear. Come on, you got to talk about it.
Yeah, no, talk about it.
Talk
about it with your friends and family.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about the.
This is a safe space.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a safe space.
Like you haven't seen any Super Bowl victories in your lifetime. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, but I was like younger for most of them. You know, like in the last decade, the two have been, you know, very end of the game losses. We lost in the last play of the game in versus Baltimore 2012, and then we had the collapse this year. So it's not fun. But this is a podcast, and I got to see in person since the last time we talked. And also, this is two shows in a row I'm joining. So you're
welcome. Congratulations, Lance.
If there's one more, we can call it a streak.
Yeah, I think two is a streak. I mean, I'm a Florida State football fan. We haven't won two in a row in a long time.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Yeah, but you did go to a show in person. Let's go with the letter grade system. How is Raleigh? How is the crowd? And how is the card?
Yeah, so Raleigh's awesome. I've been to Raleigh a ton of times with work. I've been to Raleigh a bunch for work. Raleigh's one of the hotbed for technology companies in the South. So some of the biggest tech companies in the world have giant offices there. It's super random. So Raleigh's awesome. Tons of good bars, a lot of stuff to do, super fun. The crowd and the venue was packed. I mean, it was filled to the brim. I think it was the first ever UFC event in Raleigh. The crowd was great. There was people tailgating like an hour before the doors opened in the parking lot. It was pretty wild.
Why were you there before the doors opened?
Well, our hotel was right there. So we were there was like a restaurant right where they were at and we were walking in. So there were still people out there. Like we got there probably 10 minutes after the doors opened, but there have been people out there all day. And there was people at the restaurant tailgating. There was people from my hotel tailgating. It was a pretty good scene. The fights were okay. I mean, there was a couple good fights, I guess. It was exactly as expected. I mean, it's not a good sign when Angela Hill has one of the best fights on the card, at least from an excitement level. There was a lot of decisions. There were some really, really bad chick fights. The Sarah McMahon fight was really fucking bad. And then I already forgot their names, but the people, I forgot their names. Their fight was really fucking bad. Who was that? It was two random chicks.
Shit draws. That fight was pretty fucking
bad.
Oh,
yeah, the girl who shit her pants.
Kish versus Pudlova.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Justin Kish. Terrible fight. Everyone, you're right.
Raleigh must know their fights because I went up to get a beer during that fight, and there must have been 40 people in line. Like, everyone in the entire arena went to get a beer during the, like, after the first round of that fight.
Smart.
Yeah. So it was depressing kind of seeing Junior go out like that a little bit as a fan.
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
No, that was sad.
I just made too much money on it. It was hard to be upset.
Come on, Lance. Like, it's all about the Benjamins. Dude.
No. I'd rather lose money than a guy like Junior win. Or in this case, lose money
both.
And Junior lose.
Why? I mean, he's past it.
It's over.
Because he's Junior. He's like the sweetest guy.
He's that old man. He's the old man. Now you got to move over for the young buck.
Well, I was depressed at first because the reason I was going to Raleigh in the first place and why I got tickets to this card because I wanted to see Frankie Edgar. And Frankie obviously did not fight in the card and he got his ass kicked for Korean Zombie. But really, it was probably a blessing. Because if I would have watched Frankie Edgar and Junior Dos Santos get knocked out violently and back to back, I cried the whole way home.
And it was likely going to happen, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, probably. Hey, last show had the Du Bronx fight been announced? I don't think that had been announced.
No, we talked about it. Remember, we talked about the crazy odds that the old Russian book that I had.
That's right.
Yeah.
When is that fight?
Is it March 14th? Yeah.
Oh, is that the one in Brasilia?
Yeah, that's the stacked Brazil card.
There always is one. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
I'm going to be watching from my phone in a hotel room in Annapolis.
Annapolis? Like the Navy
hometown?
What the
fuck are you doing in Annapolis?
Indianapolis.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, I got a weird week that week. We're going to Indianapolis that Saturday morning. We're going to the Big Ten champ. We're going to the Big Ten basketball tournament. We're driving to Michigan. I'm there for 3 days. And then Helena and the kids are staying in Michigan. I'm flying to Minnesota for the NCAA wrestling tournament.
That's right. Your wife is a Michigan State grad, right?
Correct.
Sparty. That's right. It makes sense.
And on the way, so on my plane.
This is your first time going to the NCAA wrestling tournament?
Yeah, it's a really hard ticket to get. It sells out like a year in advance.
It's not a big venue, and everything's in one place. So,
well, yeah. even giant venues like NCAA wrestling is massive up north. And so I had an interesting plane ride. So on the way there to Raleigh, I sat next to an NCAA ref who refed NCAA wrestling finals matches, and he was actually flying to Raleigh to ref some ACC wrestling. And then Luke Sanders walks by on my plane, and the guy next to me knew him, was like, "Hey, Luke, how's it going?"
What was that meet that was this past weekend? Iowa.
Did you ask Luke if he likes getting choked?
Iowa.
He likes choking in fights.
Iowa Penn State was last Friday, which was awesome. It was a really good meet.
I read something that supposedly did some really good numbers on ESPN and shit.
It was on Big Ten Network, and like a Friday night on Big Ten Network, it did like 400,000.
Yeah,
which is pretty good, which is pretty damn good for wrestling on Big Ten Network, which it's not available everywhere. But the meet was great.
Good for you. That sounds like a fun trip.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, I guess we'll talk about this card a little bit. I'll just kind of briefly go through the preliminary card. Herbert Burns, the guy that nobody thought could KO anybody, just annihilates this Nate Landwehr guy. That was the way to start off a day, Lance. I mean, that probably woke you up.
Yeah, that was a shocking result. I didn't see it playing. I thought he was done early on when he was getting choked to death. But, yeah, it was fun while it lasted. That was a fun fight because right before Burns got the knockout, he got rocked, and I thought the tables were turning there. And so it was a good fight. It was a good scrap.
Next up, I think, was this our consensus bet with Brett Johns?
Yes, it was.
This was a really good fight. Gravely is a pretty solid fighter himself. This was a very competitive matchup, but Johns took over in the third. got the submission victory. Pretty good win. Then, of course, we saw a women's fight. The Lance's favorite, Sarah McMahon. Biggest biceps in women's MMA.
So bad.
Bet on wrestlers.
Yeah.
That was so
bad. Yeah, Lance, why didn't you bet on that? That's your bread and butter right there.
Then we saw Montel Jackson beat Colares, and Montel Jackson couldn't knock out a
That was such bullshit. I had doesn't go to decision, and I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like,
this guy has no power, dude.
Like, all he had to do is like touch him a few times. Like there was like 10 times in the fight where all he had to do was touch him a couple more times.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. They're the refs. I had the under.
Yeah. So brutal. Bad. So bad. Then we. This is really a three fight.
One of the worst ever.
Justine Kish and Lucy Pudilova. Man, this fight was bad. Lucy Pudilova, it was so weird. I didn't know what she was doing. Like, each of these fighters were, like, trying to throw punches from, like, 7 feet away. It was so bad. This was worse than the McMahon-Landsberg fight. It really was.
Oh, yeah.
This was terrible to watch. Enough of that. I thought the next fight was pretty good with Arnold Allen and Nick Lentz. This was competitive. Of course, announcers, a little biased towards Lentz, trying to say that he's actually, you know, having really good moments in the fight. I thought Allen won this fight kind of going away. And then Bevan Lewis beat Daquan Townsend by decision. I still don't buy Bevan Lewis. He kind of has that Uriah Hall, like, I don't want to hurt anybody mentality. So bizarre.
He sucks.
But Townsend,
yeah, straight up.
Yep. Townsend,
they both
worse,
suck.
Obviously.
They suck. They're terrible.
Imagine laying 5-1 on Bevan Lewis. That's just
hell insane. Yeah.
That's crazy. He's so bad.
Jamal Hill, main card, five fight main card. Jamal Hill, decision, Darko, beefy like Pat Wyman. Stosic.
That wasn't a bad fight. It wasn't terrible.
Hill's not bad. He's not too bad. Yeah.
Stosic has like 4 minutes of cardio though.
Yeah, that guy's terrible.
Hill's not bad, especially for a guy with six fights.
Yeah, I guess. Lance's favorite fight on the card, Angela Hill, finishing Hannah's ciphers with TKO elbows. I mean, if you elbow somebody in the head for 3 minutes straight, I mean, you probably should get the finish.
Fucking hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. I was really impressed with Alex Perez.
He's good.
He is, so isn't good. He? Submission victory over Espinoza. It's only a matter of time before Perez is threatening the top five of the flyweight division. Maybe one more win, and he might be there. I think it's time they give him a real step up in competition. This was definitely a bit of a surprise.
Whip it out, Sean. Whip it out.
And man, Dos Anjos got... you know the takedown's coming. This isn't Covington either. And Michael Chiesa just had no problem getting this guy to the mat. Brutal, brutal beat for Dos Anjos at this point.
Chiesa went up to 170. Nice, man. That dude did it right. He's like massive at 170, dude. He's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Tall, long, but like, fuck. Chiesa's striking is still absolute trash. So
doesn't need to be good.
It doesn't need to be good, but if they're... The tough thing is, 170 is full of wrestlers. So if a wrestler stuffs his shot, he is going to get lit up on the feet.
By who? Covington?
Covington would light him up, I think.
Yeah. Covington beat him on the feet.
Covington would fuck up Michael Chiesa. Covington would light him up.
He'd look like Floyd Mayweather against Chiesa.
Chiesa can beat a lot of guys, though, outside of those few really good wrestlers, though, I think, at 170, man. He's like a fucking blanket. Like, taking Dos Anjos down like that and controlling him a lot was rather impressive, I thought. Yep. Even though I think RDA's definitely declining. You know, there's no doubt.
He's old.
He's getting old. He's taking a lot of beatings, and this is just not a great stylistic matchup if you can't get away from those takedowns.
I didn't think Dos
Anjos is 35, and he's fought 42 times in his career,
including some beat downs the last handful of fights too.
Yeah, the Tony Ferguson fight stands out.
Certainly. Which is Usman and Covington and...
Look who he's fought his last six fights.
It's crazy.
Waller, everybody, yeah. Usman, Kevin Lee, Leon Edwards, Lance's who, and Michael and now Chiesa. I mean, that is, it's really impressive. Then he fought before that Magny, who he beat Tarek Saffany. Then he fought Ferguson, Eddie Alvarez, Donald Cerrone, Anthony Pettis, Nate Diaz, Ben Henderson, Jason Hai. That was the only one that stands out. Then Khabib. Cerrone. I mean, Jesus Christ.
That's a high
15 fights is like that might be in terms of a 15 fight run as good as anyone's, like, in terms of competition, as
strength
as
of competition is very high.
Yeah, it's super high. I mean, part of it obviously was being champion, but it's really impressive. And I mean, he had a winning record during that time, so it's, you know, I guess he's pretty good.
RDA underrated?
No.
All time?
I saw some people kind of shitting on him, man, after this fight and a little bit before it. I think he's a little bit underrated. Old.
Are you assuming that RDA was clean this whole time?
I mean, I don't assume anybody's clean. That doesn't bother me whatsoever.
There's clean to more clean.
I don't know about that, man. You're going to
compare Edgar to Henan Barao and say that's the same level of clean?
I mean, you would you ever be shocked if Frankie Edgar popped dirty with something? Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't care.
One and two, I think Henan Barao was so far on the gills of the stuff, you can't even make a comparison.
I mean, I don't care. That stuff doesn't matter to me.
It does matter.
It doesn't to me. I almost think Henan Barao could have been washed up from the 35 fights he had too by the time he was 29 years old. You know, there's a lot of things that go into that. I don't care about the fucking PED shit. It doesn't bother me.
I love steroids, man. Do you remember the TRT Vitor run?
That was one of the greatest things ever.
And people still consider him one of the greatest fighters ever. They don't take anything away from
Vitor. I think we all like fighters at their highest level because we want to see the sport at the highest level. So I would agree with you, but to say that it's not someone's enhanced over it. No.
I just don't care. I think most of them are enhanced though, one way or another. Some maybe a whole lot more than others, but I seriously think 70-80% of guys that have stepped into a cage have done something. Like, you can't train and fight like that for every single day of your life and not be on something. You're going to break down.
Your body does break down. Main event, we touched on this. Lance saddened by seeing Junior Dos Santos get TKO'd by Curtis Blaydes, who... Ooh, he's pretty good.
We
talked about this.
Yeah, so now I think me and you, Jay, said like at least like three times him in the Hulk fight.
That was what we said, yeah.
I think it might end up being more, maybe. Those are like the two best young guys, especially if Hulk takes out, you know.
I think if I had to make the odds, I would probably make it like about – it would be 3.5 and slightly juiced to the under. I think it's almost a lock that they fight a third time. A fourth time it's
only thing
possible.
That would run into that is Francis isn't actually that young.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And there's going to be other guys. And how but dominant is one fight versus the other? If Francis beats him again, like, he's beaten him three times already.
If Blaydes beats him next time, then they'll absolutely fight again after that. I think that's almost guaranteed then.
Yeah, it has to be. There's no one else.
There's a couple. There's a few good young heavyweights now, man.
It's not crazy.
Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, bring Rumble back and it's over, right?
Have you seen a picture of him recently? He's not going heavyweight. He's like slim. He's like, he looks like 205 Rumble already. He's going to murder somebody. That's going to be death.
He loses weight faster than any other human maybe ever.
Man, You said you've seen him recently?
Yeah, there was a picture like it was probably a couple days ago I saw, and he is not, his face is thin down. He doesn't, he's not, like, he's massive. Like, he's looks
making
like
a comeback.
There's like he a looked, year a year ago, he was with a couple weightlifters, and he looked like he was 300 fucking pounds. Like, yeah, muscle jacked. I mean, like, he's on so much fucking shit. He was
feel like he can lose, like, 20, 25 pounds in, like, 10 days. Like, it's, like he must have it down to, like, a T. It's
every
incredible.
Wrestler I've known in my life can do that.
That guy makes
it. Yeah, but he does it easily.
Was it 170?
He's not even fasting.
What was Rumble's lowest? Was it 170?
Yeah, 170. He made 170 a couple times.
That was nuts.
Well, he said he's fighting. What is it? March, I think, or April? He said he was. They haven't announced his opponent, but he made a tweet that he was fighting like UFC 248 or something.
Dude, that guy lost to Charlie Brenneman.
He knocked Charlie Brenneman out.
Yeah, but didn't Charlie Brenneman eye poke his ass?
I thought he subbed him.
No, he knocked Charlie Brenneman out with a head kick in his face.
I thought Charlie Brenneman subbed him.
No, that's that highlight reel knockout where Rumble kicked him in the face.
Didn't
he
fight him twice?
And halfway,
he fought him twice.
No, he fought once. He kicked him in the face. Brenneman got knocked out. When he hit the ground, he woke back up and then started complaining about the stoppage. It's in every Rumble highlight video.
He lost to Kevin Burns. That's who I got eye poked.
The Brenneman fight was like a minute, I think. The Brenneman fight was hilarious.
2 minutes and 49 seconds. He murdered that dude.
Yeah.
Kevin Burns. Rich Clemente. Oh my God.
It's like quality fucking UFC right there.
Oh man. That's so bad.
Back, baby.
They know how to lid some guys can crush.
I wonder who he fights. Like, let's assume he goes
36 years old, man.
I think they
give him a contender because I mean, if he wins one, that's gonna be the next guy who Bones fights.
Yeah, well, they gotta be paying him some decent money to come back. I would think.
Bones has said several times he's wanted to fight Rumble. Like he's mentioned it before because
he was the only Rumble guy.
Not that Rumble would have a chance versus anyone else, but if you ask me who has a better chance, Rumble or Dominic Reyes. I'm picking Rumble all day because Rumble can knock your head off your body.
They could do Rumble and Thiago Santos. I'm
probably still picking Rumble out of anybody.
Santos,
100% Wes.
Like best chance against Jones still to this day is probably still Rumble, just because he's got that fucking power, man. Yeah. That's probably why Bones wants him though, is because everybody says that too. Like Rumble's got the shot. Yeah, Rumble's got the chance. You know.
I think Anthony Smith would make the most sense, honestly. It's a top five guy. Rumble's probably going to
absolutely kill him. Ozdemir?
Rumble would,
I don't know. Any of those guys are possible.
Not Vulcan. Vulcan will just try to hug him and shit against the cage. And you don't want that. We need
Anthony
Bose being thrown.
Anthony Smith's fighting Glover
in
April.
Really? You know who's talking about coming out of retirement? Well, was fucking Jimmy Manoa, dog.
Manoa.
A rematch.
Yeah,
what about Johnny Walker?
Ooh. Do you want to run Johnny Walker like it?
That's not like even off a 2-year layoff, Rumble sleeps Johnny Walker without even taking a breath.
I wouldn't take that chance of running Johnny Walker.
No. has anyone just outstruck Rumble easily? Like,
what about Thiago Santos? They can do that fight.
That's a great fight. But then I think you're taking the two contenders that people want to see if he comes back. There's odd opportunities.
Yeah, there's a fucking number of guys that's you're like, ooh, I like that. You could say that a bunch of times.
Yeah, I think anyone you put in a cage with Rumble, you're going to be excited for.
Yeah, yeah.
Besides, a guy who's just going to try to lay on him.
That's usually the problem with Rumble. Yeah.
Corey Anderson. I don't want to see him fight Corey Anderson.
Yeah, keep him far away from him. Yeah.
Though Corey gets hit and gets slapped.
It's true. But I don't know if he does against Rumble.
Rumble will turn you into a daily fucking MMA radio show where you try to charge people $1.
Oh my god. Should we talk about that? Holy fuck.
I don't think we should talk about it. I was looking at this card as we were talking over the last 20 minutes, and I want to say I don't know 60% of the people on this card coming up.
Possible. Where is this card? Houston, Texas?
Yeah. I think this
Big
is actually
advantage
an LFA
for Derek
card.
Lewis here, by the way.
Is this an LFA card headlined by John Jones?
No, there's some other guys on there.
Yeah, like
there's like three or four.
Journey Newsom.
Oh,
Austin Lingo. Yusef Zalal. There's all kinds of great guys in this.
There's a bunch of people off that fought on LFA and shit off on this card.
They're currently on LFA. It's just labeled UFC.
Yeah, this is it's a pretty rough one.
Oh, Jimmy Rivera was supposed to fight Marlon Vera on this card. That would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything would have been better. And like, they're doing two title fights, except one doesn't count. So it's one title fight.
Because there's one fighter in there, and there's one that's not.
No, because there's no fighters.
Lance, there's one fighter.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you do.
She dances. She's a dancer.
Oh, it's Invicta?
What's way better than an Invicta fighter?
When worlds collide.
The first fight on this Houston card, Wes, is
start
Andre
with a banger.
Yule and Jonathan Martinez. I guess this won't be terrible.
It will.
Wes.
Yeah, it's not too bad of a fight. Yeah, I've never been a big believer in Yule, man. This guy's still living off beating Barao, I think. Anytime he gets a fight with somebody decent, he loses. I don't think Jonathan Martinez is the guy. So, I like Yule here. I can't put any money on the guy, though. I don't trust him whatsoever, but he should win this fight.
Nushan, you agree with Wes?
Yeah, I give the edge to Yule. Both these guys are not very good. I guess Yule did a bit better than I expected. Last time out, I thought Marlon Vera would take him out a bit sooner. So I guess he's got that going for him. But that's fucking about it. He's got a 5-inch reach advantage. So if he can use that, maybe he'll be able to win a boring ass decision.
I'm going to skip Lance because I don't think he has an opinion on this fight.
I've seen the one guy who beat Barao a couple times. Yeah, him.
He's been around.
I've heard of both of these young fellas. I think Yule's better. I would, if it gets closer to a pick'em, I think I would actually look at it. I don't want to lay any substantial juice, but if it's one of those fight day movements and it gets around even money, I might take a shot at him because I do think he's better. I'm just not willing to lay minus 140 or 135 on him.
I think Yule is certainly more skilled. I don't know if he's tougher than Martinez, and so that could certainly play a part. I think Martinez maybe more consistent over three rounds. Yule's more of a quicker starter, so that's a little tough. I do think when it comes to the guys that I both grade a D+, same grade, I'll take the guy that I just view as a little more technical, and that's Yule. So I'll take Yule by decision, but not a fight I particularly want to bet on.
Jay, we missed a fight.
I'm not talking
about
that
two LFA guys.
I don't know those guys. I'm not talking about
that guy. That guy Lingo's fun though. That dude knocks people out.
Austin Lingo.
Austin Lingo. He's got five first round knockouts,
and it's against some decent guys in the LFA. He's not
so you're
bad.
You're telling me, Wes, that he talks with his hands?
Let's move on.
And Domingo Pilarte in a fight that I do not care at all about. But Wes, maybe you have something here that is worth talking about.
I would completely pass on this fight, man. This is a couple guys that you want to sit back and
don't stop believing, Wes.
I will not stop believing. I'm going to pick Journey Newsom, but I'm not touching this fight. Fuck this fight.
After this fight, do you think Journey's wheels in the sky are going to keep on turning?
He's got a 7-inch height advantage and a 6-inch reach advantage. This guy's going to be fucking Pilarte does. Yeah, so if he loses, that's going to be some sweet tall guy defense right there.
Well, Lance, after this fight, do you think these guys are going to go separate ways?
Fucking Jay.
Yeah, that's good. That was solid. I've seen the Poirier guy fight. Didn't he lose as like a gigantic favorite in his last fight?
What was he? He was a minus 400 favorite and lost.
That's pretty good. So you can trust him. He's reliable. Yeah. I got nothing on this. I've heard the name Journey Newsom. I can't think of I've seen him fight or anything. Has he fought in the UFC before?
One time.
Did he lose?
He went Ramos, I think.
Yeah, he fought Ricardo Ramos, and Ramos didn't finish him. So that's his claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive. Put that in your tombstone. Hell yeah. I'm not touching this one.
Nah, that's fair. I got both guys a D. I've seen Poirier in the UFC, and I don't think he's good enough. I don't know. I'll give the benefit of the doubt to the new guy, just on principle. Don't believe anything I say in this fight. I don't care. So I'm going to move on to the Fight Pass headliner. It's Miles Johns, who I think Lance is fairly high on, against something called Mario Bautista. Wes.
Yeah, I like Miles Johns in this fight. He looked pretty decent on the Contender Series. Had a decent win over a tough undefeated guy in Cole Smith in his UFC debut, and is training at probably one of the best gyms, one of the hottest gyms anyway, in the country right now. Yeah,
you mean literally because it's Arizona and it's hot.
No, that's the marinara spot over there. That's where Batista's at, actually. I think that chicken parm's gonna fill him up. I just wasn't impressed, man. Sagan destroyed him, of course. But he didn't look great against Jinsu, whatever the fuck. I like John's here, man. I wish the price would get down a little bit more, but we'll probably look at putting a small bet on him if the line goes down a little bit.
I see you're looking at Fortis MMA, where Span and CDF. Like
everyone who's winning.
A lot of young guys. Yeah, they're producing winners right now, man. They just got that. It just when guys start winning like that, it seems to be contagious at a gym.
Alonzo Menafield. Oh, but they got Kennedy. They got that dude Kennedy, and that guy can't fight.
Nunchucks. Kenny Nunchucks?
They got Austin Lingo.
But they got some bigger guys. Like, are you looking on SureDog, or where are you looking, Jay?
I'm looking on Tapology. I'm looking up there.
Because they got some good names there, but it doesn't seem like Tapology has it updated.
Deron Williams is an owner of this gym, by the way.
They have a lot of contenders there, man.
Yeah, they're good.
Very good. Yeah, I wouldn't go against them right now. I think this is a fairly close fight.
You would
but...
fade the lab?
The lab's been in some shambles the past couple years.
The lab is kind of fractured right now. Yeah. You got half the guys leaving, half the guys staying. I don't know if somebody
coaches
fucked up.
Leaving.
I don't know if there was maybe some salmonella after a particular
somebody fucked practice. Up the chicken farm recipe leaving. Or something. I don't know.
Man,
I'll pick Miles John, but not gonna bet this fight.
Lance, I think you may have a bet here.
Yeah, I haven't finalized everything. Today, like 10 minutes ago, was when the first time I looked at this card. So I haven't bet anything yet. I do like Miles John's. I was super impressed with the Contender Series, and I know you don't always face the best competition there, but I think you can. You can see a guy's style. You can see what he can do. You can see his wrestling ability. And John just seems like he's going to be consistent in the UFC and beats the guys he's supposed to. Probably loses to the guys he can't take down and can't get on top of. But he seems like a consistent kind of guy. You know what you're going to expect out of him. And I think he's a little undersized, but I like him. I like his wrestling ability. And I think he wins this fight pretty easily. So yeah, I'll be looking at taking Johns. Not sure if I'll take him straight or maybe parlay him with Bones or something. I haven't figured that out yet, but I'll have some kind of bet on him.
I got Bautista D, Johns a D plus. I'm with Lance. I think Johns is a pretty decent prospect. Bautista has done very little thus far in his UFC career. John's more talented, better striker, better fighter.
Wrestler.
Wrestler.
Better wrestler. He wrestled in college. He wasn't like amazing or anything, but he was collegiate.
That's good enough. Preliminary card on ESPN. Oh, Wolf City to start this.
Hell yeah.
Lauren Murphy taking on one of Wes's favorite fighters, Andrea KGB Lee.
That's one of Lance's favorite fighters.
Isn't she a Nazi?
She loves Lance.
She's not a Nazi.
She hangs out with him. Right.
I didn't notice the huge swastika on your back. I would have never guessed you hated the Jews. I thought it was just
a cool design.
Yeah. I thought he just got drunk one night and just drew it out himself.
He signed in India. So.
God.
He said the peace sign in India. Jesus Christ. look, Andrea Lee should win this fight, but man, if you're trusting laying -350 on her after that last performance, good luck to you. Lauren Murphy sucks, but she's fucking tough, and I wouldn't trust Angela Lee at -350. She'll be my pick to win, but no way am I betting her.
All right, new Sean. Over.
I took Angela Lee by decision at -150. I think she's better. Both these chicks. Andrea Lee's only been in decisions in the UFC. Lauren Murphy's only lost by decision, so she can take a punch. I mean, look at that face. Obviously, she can take a punch. So I think Lee's going to win and win by decision.
Lance?
Do you remember when old Sean, every time there was a women's fight, he would just start breaking down some
movies.
Random film?
I might start doing that.
It would be some movie literally no one's ever heard of, and he would just jump right in and start breaking it down. Yeah, that's my pick for the fight.
So you're not breaking down a movie?
No. I was breaking down the breaking down of a movie. It's like the movie Inception.
Ooh.
It's a movie breakdown inside of a movie breakdown inside of an old podcast.
Well, I saw Uncut Gems yesterday.
Nope, it's got to be a random movie no one's heard
yeah,
of.
Yeah, no one's heard
it's
of.
It's got to be like a 1950s horror flick from Sweden or some shit.
No, I'm not doing that. I do my thing. Now only in Uncut Gems can you sports bet sports in at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. And do six
co-related parlays,
six piece co-related parlays for over $100,000 of risk, including the tip off.
Hell yeah,
that's getting that Mike Francesca inside knowledge for the film.
That's very good.
They consulted him on the sports betting aspect.
It was a very good 2-minute cameo by the Mike Francesa. It was good. 7.8 overall rating. There was some excessive cursing, just some pieces I didn't like. If you're gonna do the gambling thing, like at least like don't have to fib about it. There's no need to. The Kevin Garnett cameo is very good. So people bettors. Sports fans, it's worth a watch. Is it a Academy Award winning movie? No, but it's one of the better films of the year. Yeah, don't care. Andrea Lee will win. New Sean's probably got the right play there with the decision because Lauren Murphy is like basically impossible to knock out. So probably the right play. Let's move on to Alex Morano taking on something called Kaylin Williams.
Who the fuck is that?
West got an answer to that question?
Girl?
That's what I thought.
He is very muscular for a lady.
He's
Hey, that is sexist. It's 2020. Don't
yeah, stuff like that. CrossFit's real.
Yeah, bro. Have you seen Sarah McMahon?
Yeah, that's true.
Have you seen that tattoo, though, was the question.
No.
What tattoo?
Yeah. Oh.
Sarah McMahon's back tattoo?
Oh, that tramp stamp? Oh, and, well, my God. The tramp you need stamp to look and that the back up. Tattoo is fucking yeah, terrible.
That back is tattoo hot, is
super hot. Woo.
Not at all.
It up right now.
Didn't Louis Godnot knock her up?
Yes. That's he fathered that, a child.
Oh. Is that true or was that a rumor?
Wait, which tattoo am I looking at? The full back tattoo or the lower back tattoo?
That full back. I don't know about the lower back. That full back is.
It's all bad. Let's be serious.
Yeah.
Oh, look, that's bad. Bottom,
looking at the bottom tattoo. That's a new tattoo, the top one, because the one on the bottom. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, imagine having like two kids already and getting that newer back tattoo. Some good stuff there.
She also has a tattoo. Is that her leg? What am I looking at here?
I'm thinking of getting a tattoo of the one life roll the dice tattoo. How much
is that a lion on her back and a gun?
What about getting the exact tramp stamp that he has though, Lance? Like, I'm not Ray sure Maynard. What it is because it's like old and green and shit. But...
Maynard's got the best, just the best tattoos. Between this horrible tramp stamp and then the one life roll the dice right in his fucking chest.
And that was it. He stopped at those.
I love you, Gray Maynard.
Imagine learned his thinking lesson. Like,
how much money do you think I've lost on Gray Maynard in my life?
Way too much.
Way maybe too much.
More, do you think I've lost more? Like, do you think he's number one on my list of guys I've lost the most money on?
I know Bear Jew is the one you've made most, I swear.
Oh, well, that'd be Dubronx, obviously.
But he's got some losses in there.
Yeah, but there was a couple I didn't bet on early on. And I bet on him to inside the distance on every fight during this win streak. But Bear Jew, I hit some fucking monsters.
Some monsters.
Like that one versus that random Russian dude where he's tapped out with like 1 second left. I had like Bear Jew sub plus 500 or something. And I've hit some monsters on the Bear Jew. He's fighting a couple weeks, I think.
He is.
He always is fighting. He's pretty active.
Yeah, he's a fucking Bear Jew.
Where were we, though?
Who cares? We're talking about Bear Jew.
We're Maynard looking at Kalen Williams.
Oh yeah. Wes was telling that he was beefy, and that's all I remember.
Is she a strawweight?
Got lost.
Yeah, Kalen Williams looks like an absolute can crusher, and somebody that's gonna gas like a motherfucker when Morono's just like throwing 1,000 strikes at him. So, who knows though? Morono, I just don't think is great. I never have. The guy somehow wins fights.
I know.
Would I be shocked if this can crusher guy that looks like fucking he's jacked the fuck up like catches Morono? I wouldn't be shocked. So I'm gonna pass. Pick Morono, but I wouldn't lay 3-1 on Morono here.
Like Williams definitely breathes with the gills. You know, he doesn't.
Yeah, somehow Powder fucking wins against, great guys, but I mean, he beat Max Griffin and Kanon, Song Kanon, Zach Otto, some fucking how he's winning these fights. So as long as he doesn't get finished in the first couple minutes, I think he wins.
Gonna win, yeah.
By just being him.
I assume Lance picks Alex Morono.
I don't know, this big black guy, come on now.
So isn't it Moreno?
It's Morono.
It's spelled Morono, but I think it's pronounced Moreno.
Well, that's dumb, and we cannot do that.
Well, all right, where's he from? That's how we're going to solve this.
He's probably from Casper, Wyoming.
I think he's from Massachusetts or something.
He's from... Where the fuck does it say?
He's born in Houston, Texas, in these fights.
Yeah, that's where
it's Moreno. Yeah,
he's
Moreno.
Now training at Fortis MMA, so...
Oh, shit.
This is his hometown he's training in, Wes. This is a hometown fight for Alex Morono. Think about that.
So I was going to – I was definitely going to – I'm definitely picking Moreno. I'm just going to stick with that. And I was thinking about betting him, but I just looked up a picture of this guy.
Oh, you're talking about the new guy.
And you know I like me some big, strong men.
You betcha.
And then his nickname is the Ox Fighter. I mean, I'm not betting against that guy. There's fucking no way. I think he's got some bad tats in there, too.
You win on that nickname?
The fucking Ox Fighter? Are you kidding me?
Ox
yes.
Fighter? I mean, that sounds like a really... I mean, they didn't really go on a limb on that one.
I mean, I've never heard of an Ox Fighter. I mean, I'm not saying it's like the Bear Jew or anything like that, but man, Ox Spider. Yeah.
I'd be way more impressed.
I don't know what to pick here because his muscles and his nickname.
I knew I could draw you in there, Lance. Just had to get the picture up.
I was going to bet him without pulling him up. I was just going to bet Moreno.
I got
how do we see how you pronounce his name? Because I think I'm right.
Alex Moreno. D+, can crusher, D-, he's a can crusher. Moreno finds ways to win fights. He's active. He tends to get better as fights go on. One is experience, one is not. And Morano's fighting in his hometown. So I think this is going to be a big night for Houston. It just seems like it's set up that way. I'll take Morano here. Let's move on. Final fight before the pay-per-view. I know, great booking. We got Trevin Giles making his return against something called Antonio Arroyo. Wes.
Yeah, man. I really like Giles in this fight, man. If you bet on this guy here lately, you got some serious fucking clinching going on when he gets in mm-hmm. the second and third rounds. Look, I think Giles is a really good all around fighter. He can't go three rounds like he fights the first couple, but this Arroyo guy I don't think it's the guy to push Giles. I think Giles is going to be able to do just about whatever he wants here. I'm not even sure how Arroyo is still like getting another fight in the UFC. I didn't think he looked too impressive on the Contender Series. He lost to a pretty bad guy in his debut. I know it was on short notice, but I just think Trevin Giles is the better guy here by a pretty wide margin. I will be clinching in the third, probably a little bit again. You always do, like I said, with Giles, but man, at this price against a guy, I just think he's better than I got to take it. So yeah, I'll be betting Giles.
New Sean.
Giles is a guy that you just expect to be better than what he is. Even when he's winning the early part of these fights, like he's winning, but he's not doing it spectacularly. So like he definitely should be beating Arroyo. This is a big step down, and the price is short, but I learned my lesson. I've bet on Giles in both the fights that he's lost, so I'm just staying clear. What the fuck is that noise?
Is somebody duct taping a body or something?
Yeah, Lance, you're duct taping a body there or what?
It's not me. I hear it. I think it was Jay.
Oh, Jay was duct taping a body. That makes more sense.
I'm not sure what that means, but okay.
Sounds like duct tape rolling around something. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't have much on this one. I forgot who Giles was, and then I looked him up. Arroyo is really terrible, so Giles probably wins. But I don't think I want to bet on this one.
That's fine. Smart.
I'm gonna have like no bets on this.
Pretty much.
I'm searching for fucking.
This is one of the worst. This might be one of the worst fights you guys have ever seen. Like, there's no good fights because like Bones on the card, but he has no chance of losing. Like, there's nothing. This is the worst card. I'm not excited for a single fight on this card.
Back to well, whatever.
No, I'm not excited. Who cares?
Fine, you're not excited.
No excitement. There's nothing here.
Arroyo D-, Giles C-, Arroyo awful, Giles coming off two losses in a row. He needs a victory here badly. He's also from Texas. Needs to fight to stay in the UFC. Needs to win. He's going to get the win here and stick around. All right, main card. I guess Lance isn't excited to see the Horse Lord. Ilir Latifi taking on the sweaty balls, Derek Lewis.
The balls is hot.
They hot. Right. Sorry. Not sweaty. Hot. Sorry. Forgot. Wes, are you betting Latifi?
You know he hates Lewis. You know who he's betting.
look,
this is a little more than a fade of Lewis this time. Yeah, everybody knows how I feel about Lewis. I just don't think the guy's good. Yeah, he hits like a fucking truck, dude. Do not get me wrong, but I just cannot ever get out of my head this dude just rolling to his back and just completely gassed out, can't move, laying on his back like a turtle. I mean, just about anybody takes the guy down because he gasses out so damn bad. He doesn't throw punches. He's not that good, man. If he catches Latifi, then he catches Latifi. I think Latifi can do enough to put it on Lewis to get him tired enough to where I think he could catch him with something in the third round and get him out of there. So I'll take the +220 I got on Latifi, and if Lewis lands one punch and knocks him out like he seems to do every now and then that's on me, but I'm on Latifi.
All right, Nushon.
I put a small one unit play on Latifi as well at +245. Like Wes said, Lewis isn't good, but he does win. I mean, as we've seen, as the rants that we've heard from Wes every time he bets against him, and
he's lost two out of three. Wins.
He has lost, but the size difference is going to be fairly big. I don't know what the strength difference is going to be, just because Lewis is obviously a very, very fat man that probably should be making 205, and Latifi is absolutely a tank. I think Latifi can grind a bit, protect himself early, and take over this fight. It's not a big play for me, obviously, because there is some decent disadvantages going in this for Latifi. But I just can't lay that kind of juice with Derek Lewis. If you want to play him as a big dog or close to even money, that's fair enough. But -250, whatever the fuck it is, yeah, no chance.
All right. Lance, I know you may have a different opinion in this one.
Yeah, I think this line is way off the other way. Everyone loves to hate on Derek Lewis and says he gets lucky and he lands these lucky shots. And is it lucky if he's done it like 20 times? When you look at this guy's UFC 20, run,
let's not come on. Get crazy. He's been
dominated for big chunks of fights.
He has 18 knockouts. I apologize for the rounding error. Everyone loves to think Derek Lewis sucks. And he gets lucky and he close fights and then comes back at the end. But he does. He wins. He's a winner. He finds ways to win. He might not look the best. He might not be in shape, but he wins. Latifi likes to lose. Huge fan of losing. He finds ways to grab the L. And he's going up in weight. He's going to be tiny next to Derek Lewis. Lewis gets down to 265. Latifi's been at 205. He was losing at 205, and now he's going to be facing a guy that probably walks around at like 300 pounds. I don't think he's going to be able to take him down. I think he's going to stand in front of Derek Lewis. And this is the same guy that has gotten knocked out before. I just think Derek Lewis is the much better fighter here. I think he does catch Latifi, and even if he doesn't, he'll win a decision because it's Derek Lewis finds a way to win. I mean, during the last few years, his only losses are to Junior Dos Santos and Daniel Cormier. And he's fought some good guys. I mean, he Blago Ivanov is not bad. Volkov is not bad. He smoked Francis Ngannou. I don't even think Ngannou landed a punch that fight. I mean, he took the most dangerous fighter in the world and just made him a scared little baby. So Derek Lewis is so much bigger, better, stronger than Aliyah Latifi, and I don't see this fight being close at all. I think this is a blowout. I think this is probably the last fight in Latifi's UFC career.
Okay. Interesting. I got Latifi a D+, Derek Lewis a B-. I am certainly in the Lance camp and thinking Derek Lewis is going to win this fight. I think this is a major disadvantage to Latifi moving up in weight. I mean, it could be helpful to him against small heavyweights. But man, like Lewis is just way, way bigger. Is going to have a significant weight advantage on fight day. I think it would be a struggle for Latifi to get Lewis to the mat. And in terms of the striking, I mean, Lewis, when he lands, it's like hurt to land compared to Latifi. I don't see it. Latifi also, a few things other guys have mentioned is when he's faced guys that are longer than him, he tends to strike from distance and like just struggles to land. We saw routinely against like the Musasi fight, for example. There's been some others as well. But certainly
and Derek Lewis on the feet.
I mean, do you want me to quote other ones? Do you want me to quote other ones? I can. I just got to look back.
And Nushon, it's not 4 inches. Matibi's 5'8". He's 5'8".
Vulcan. There's been a ton.
He's 5'10".
Not according to Sherdog. He's 5'8".
Well, UFC has him at 5'10".
Wikipedia has him 5'10".
And NFL has these guys. Yeah, he's not 5'10". He's a middle.
He also has a 73-inch reach, which is minuscule.
Because he's 5'8".
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the size, though, and yeah, it's going to be a size disadvantage. Latifi was cutting 30 pounds to get down to 205. I'm not sure he's going to be the fucking weaker guy in this fight, though, by any means. Like, Derek Lewis like is 60 10X. Pounds of crawfish and Budweiser. Like, come on.
Lewis is a big fucking guy.
He's fucking fat. He's
fat. It works.
He's going to be 50 or
gasses gasses every fight. It doesn't work. By the second round, he's going to be gassed.
Yeah, but like he's facing guys that are real heavyweights, though.
They don't do that, though.
So he gasses every fight, but he has the most knockouts after the second round, maybe in UFC history. So there's got to be something.
That's an
indictment
on the heavyweight division and how fucking stupid and dumb they are.
This is the heavyweight division.
It's going to boil down to this. Lewis fought an actual skilled heavyweight in Volkov, got his shit pushed in.
And knocked him out.
And Volkov was an absolute moron.
So Volkov is also 6'6".
So if he gets his shit pushed in for 14 minutes and 59 seconds and he knocks out Latifi, that's fine.
Really
that's all.
Compare 5'10" Latifi and 6'6" Volkov.
No, I'm just comparing guys that are actually skilled. And Derek Lewis gets his shit pushed in every single time. Hell, Ivanov barely throws strikes and he barely won that fight. He took a split decision.
Ivanov's been stabbed 16 times and survived. Big difference.
Yes, Derek Lewis. When did Derek Lewis turn into goddamn Overeem on the feet? The guy throws like three punches a round.
And one of them usually knocks someone out.
If he catches it and if that lands, then that's on me. I'll take plus 220 every time against Derek Lewis. Every single time.
Yep.
All right.
He's gonna lose every time. Because he wins every fight.
Not every fight. He doesn't.
When he's has he ever lost as a favorite?
He's lost to Junior Dos Santos, Daniel Cormier, and Mark Hunt in the UFC.
Yeah, but looking at that as wins and losses is fucking ridiculous because he was losing most of those fights. I mean, that Francis fight is nothing.
I wonder if they paid him a win bonus.
But see, we're breaking down the fight to make a pick and shit. Like, you can't like discount how bad he loses in these fights leading up to him landing.
He doesn't lose; he wins.
Fair enough. There's a lot of luck comes out in this, and his luck is about to run out. There's a shit ton of luck.
We're gonna talk about
a shit ton.
Either way,
it's luck. It's luck when you catch a guy clean and put him out.
He lost as a favorite to Mark Hunt.
He was a favorite versus Hunt.
Yep.
That was 7 years ago.
And he lost that.
He's the same guy. That guy has
like
his dream. He does the same shit every fight. The same Lance just said he does. But he does the same shit. He's gotten no better. He's gotten no better.
We move on. Somebody's eating crow next week. We'll figure that out.
There we go.
All right. The fight that I've been looking forward to on this card, Mirsad Bektic, my former boy, taking on Dan Ige. Featherweight should be a fun scrap. Wes, break this one down.
Yeah, man, I still think honestly that Bektic is probably way more skilled here. I really do. I think the guy's is such highly skilled, man. But, dude, I've seen some say that he's not an actual fighter. You know, he's really skilled, but he's not an actual fighter. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. But I do think when Bektic gets in deep waters and shit gets tough and fights go long, he does wilt, man. And we've seen Dan Ige in some fights to where he's had to get in there and scrap and hold on to some fights against some pretty tough dudes. So you know what you're going to get out of Dan Edge every time. If I knew Becton could go three and be the same guy over three rounds, like I said, I think he's fucking supremely skilled, man. He has all the skills, but I think we know what's going to happen here. Edge is going to stay in really tough, and shit's going to get really bad for Becton, towards the end of the second and into the third round. So, man, I've bet Becton a lot, and I think this is the time that I jump off that train, man. I think Edge could definitely get a decision here and might even get a later third round stoppage. So I like Edge here quite a bit. He's a bet.
Nushon?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Becton is a very, very good wrestler. He's got a bit of striking, but I think we've kind of learned what we need to know about Becton. Is he skilled? Yes. Is the skill gap that big? I don't think so, because I mean, you got to throw in cardio, fight IQ, shit like that is a skill as well, and he doesn't have it. He slows down later in fights. That chin is an absolute liability, and even just putting himself in those situations to get hit with that dicey chin. Edge throws fucking hard. He, like Wes said, he's been in a lot of wars. Only guy that's taken him down is Aguilar, but I expect Becton to probably get a couple takedowns here. But anytime this is on the feet, Becton is in a lot of trouble. I'll take a shot. I put a unit and a half on Dan Edge at plus 119, and I put a half unit on him inside the distance at plus 377. If Becton wrestles his ass off to a decision for three full rounds, I'll take it. But it's going to be sketchy, and if you're betting Becton, you're going to be clenched for a decent amount of this fight.
All right, Lance.
Yeah, I'm in complete disagreement, per Shocker. Usual, from the the person that was top 10 Tout Master and Gamble Master, whatever, it's fine.
Well, first time, broken.
Good job catching up to us.
yeah, well, I actually paid attention a little bit and didn't skip weeks. And
you were pretty good last year. I'll give you that.
So I think Becton's choking ability is I don't think it's as bad as everyone thinks. So. It's the Darren Elkins fight. No one can forget the Darren Elkins fight. If you take that fight out, he hasn't choked away any of his fights outside of that Darren Elkins fight. That was the fight he got knocked out with a guy with no power in a fight he was dominating. His other loss to Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett just seems to catch dudes clean and
that
put
was a
him
fucking
out.
Jab.
It was
man.
A jab, yeah.
It was a soft jab.
I don't know. Josh Emmett just finds a way to put guys out. I don't know. But the choking ability, take out the Elkins fight. He hasn't choked away fights. If you look at skills, he is way more skilled than Dan Edge. His wrestling is very, very elite. He trains at TriStar. He's going to use his wrestling. And I think this is a wrestling match for 15 minutes. And I don't think they're even close in terms of wrestling. So I really like Becton in this fight. Dan Edge does not have power. He is not a power puncher. I think he's got two.
You're crazy on that one. Yeah,
I think he has two career knockouts, which is not a lot. Last time I checked, two is not a ton. It's two.
He's got three, by the way.
One was a doctor stoppage. Come on, do your research. So he doesn't have big knockout power. He, I think, and one was a TKO on the ground stoppage. The guy's not a giant power puncher. So I just don't see him knocking him out clean. I could be wrong on this, but I think Becton uses wrestling. I think he gets him down. I think he beats him up, and I think he wins a pretty clear decision.
Yeah, because a bunch of his fights have come from dropping somebody and finishing them on the ground with submissions, but that's okay. Yep. Let's go. I got both guys to see. This is going to be a really interesting competitive fight. Sure, Becton has an offensive grappling wrestling advantage. There's no denying that. The Dan Edge, I think, impacts pretty powerful striking. He's way more feisty, way better chin, and has proven he can go for 15 minutes and doesn't fade. Becton has proven that he fades. His chin is very suspect. Very dangerous fight for Becton. I actually thought Becton was going to be favored more, just based on just kind of sort of his career history. And It's way closer to where I line the fight, which is very close to even. I give Idge the advantage, candidly, because I see him as a guy who can go through three rounds. He's consistent, and he wins fights. He's got four wins in a row. He's not coming off a knockout loss like Bektic is, and I think he catches Bektic in this fight and gets the KO win. I think since Lance is not a regular, I think the rest of us like Danage. Is this going to be a consensus for the show? And then if we get it wrong, then Lance can say, "I told you so" next week. But
definitely, it's worth it. All right,
Danage plus 115. Three fights to go. Juan Adams taking on Justin Toffey?
Pass. Let's just go to the main event. Let's just go straight to the main event.
I don't care about this fight. Wes, quick thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think Toffey just ran into just a crazy knockout power guy. Got caught last time. I'm still not really sold on Juan Adams. I just think the line's probably a little off here. If you want to bet on it, I'd take the dog, but just going to pick the dog and Towmaster and probably not bet it.
Mm-hmm. Nushon?
I'll pick Juan Adams. He does throw quite a bit of volume for a heavyweight, so as long as he doesn't get knocked out early, I think he can just throw a lot of volume at Taffa and win that way. I'm not sure how good Juan Taffa is at this point, so yeah, I'll pick Adams, but I would not lay that kind of juice.
I guess we'll skip Lance based on his...
No, I want to make one comment.
Oh, wow.
Juan Adams Juan Adams, it might be the biggest bitch in UFC history. He talked so much shit before that Greg Hardy fight. Literally the most shit talk I've ever heard in my life. And he came out, got punched like one time, and then just went into the fetal position, basically just begging for the fight to be stopped the entire 45 seconds that he lasted versus Greg Hardy. Fuck this guy. Like, I might bet on this random dude just because Juan Adams is such a pussy.
Okay, fine. I got Toffa D-, Adams D. Adams, just a better technical striker at this point. I don't like his lack of real power. That really scares me as a heavyweight, but I just think Adams is a better athlete and ultimately gets the job done. I would not bet this at this price, though.
What about the under? Do you guys look at the under?
Is it?
It one is. And a half minus 115?
Minus 125, yeah.
I mean, Toffa's either probably going to knock him out early or get knocked out and quit.
I don't know.
Obviously a quitter.
Juan Adams he hasn't shown that much knockout power in his UFC career anyway.
Yeah, but something. It just seems like usually it's way more juice for two unskilled heavyweights that finish all their fights.
Except two out of the three fights that Juan Adams has been in have gone to decision in the UFC.
Really? I remember. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess he TKO'd De La Rocha in the third, but he went three rounds against Bueller.
I thought he had won almost all of his fights by...
Before the UFC, he went to four. He knocked four guys out in the first round.
Yeah, and then he lost the decision, but all of his wins are knockouts. I don't know. He's obviously not very skilled, but he hits really hard.
Yep.
So he could also just get like taken down and submitted or some shit weird.
It's true.
Wolf City. Co-main event: Mook Agyian returns, the Mook, Queen of Mooks, taking on
noise.
One of my favorites, Valentina.
Is someone playing with bubble wrap?
No one's got bubble wrap.
Rubbing your face on the old mic, or what's the deal?
Yeah, Lance, what are you doing? Valentina Shevchenko, one of my favorites. Wes.
Yeah. What are you doing? It's not me.
Lance cutting out too. I'm hearing like every second, third bar.
What a shit show.
He sucks. Wes,
What are the true odds on this fight between Shevchenko and Muke again?
The true odds? What we would all make them?
What would you make these odds?
Can you go high enough to get anybody to put any kind of money on it?
That's right. That's very fair. I think that's all I need to say about this fight.
Yeah, look, Shevchenko is going to roll here. This is a joke of a division. She's fighting a joke of a fighter. I like Shevchenko inside the distance. I think that's a little bit of plus money, and I'll be looking to see what her points handicap is when it comes out to maybe put it with Bones and something else just to get some better odds. But she's going to roll here. She wins easily.
New Sean.
Yeah, I took Shevchenko inside the distance at plus 180 for a unit. Chukagian gets hit a lot, and she can be taken down. So I think Shevchenko can probably beat her up on the feet a bit, take her down, and sub her, smash her out.
Lance, that's it. That's all. Lance, do you have anything to say on this fight?
No. I don't care.
I know you don't. Shevchenko's going to win. She's an A-plus fighter. Chukagian and I was a C-plus in this division. This is a beatdown. I think she's going to want a finish, too, to prove a point. I think she still wants that fight with Amanda Nunes for five rounds, which I still think she won that five rounder.
She did. So,
okay. Main event, Jonathan Dwight Jones taking on former Stony Brook defensive back Dominic Reyes.
I thought he played baseball.
He played football. He's the all-time tackle leader at Stony Brook.
At a place that doesn't play real football.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know what division it is.
Might as well be high school.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it's 1AA. All right, Wes. Break this one down.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot to it, man. We got some of those douchebags out there that like to pick every single underdog in these title fights, so they can get the "I told you so." Seems to be a few of those out there on Reyes. I just don't see it, man. I guess if John does dumbass John stuff and stands on the feet, there's always that chance. I don't see it. Think John's the way better striker than Reyes. Reyes does really good when he can get guys against the cage, though, and work kind of close. He's not going to be able to do that against John Jones. If Bones would fight smart for once and take this guy down, I think it's over fairly quick. Not going to bank on John doing that, though. He's not very bright these days. I think he's going to win here. I think he gets a finish, man. I know he hasn't kind of gone out and tried to destroy guys lately, but I think Reyes has gotten to him a little bit. I think the talk is starting to get to him a little bit. People thinking he's on the backside of his career. People picking Reyes to beat him. There's a few out there. I think that's gotten to him a little bit. So I think John goes out and tries to prove a point in this fight, and I think he gets a finish. So, yeah, I like John inside the distance, and I mean, John's money line and anything you want to get some better odds on, I think is really good. At four, I think he's almost down to just a 4-1 fave. It's getting close. That's crazy to me. Dominic Reyes is not that good, man. So John Jones all day for me.
All right, New Sean.
Yeah, I think Jones's demise is quite overblown.
It's crazy, man.
He's undefeated.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
He is,
people
right?
just want it, they want to be the say they're the one that called it.
I think some of it has to do with him not finishing fights against guys that we kind of thought he should. The Anthony Smith fight was weird. He was dominating that fight, and then he throws that dumb shit, and then he completely lets off the gas, yeah, so he doesn't do anything dumb shit again. Yeah. Thiago Santos fight, I think people, when they judge fights against dominant champions, like to give close rounds to the challenger, especially when the challenger is supposed to win. He soundly outstruck Thiago Santos. The scorecards in that fight were crazy. And Could he have taken down Santos? Probably. He probably should have emphasized that. But Santos has definitely improved his takedown defense. I think that was a big hole in his game, and he knew it, and he shored it up quite a bit. John really needs to take guys down to do big damage and to usually finish a fight, other than the Cormier knockout. It's for the most part been the case. Dominic Reyes has been taken down, not multiple times in any of his fights, but he's been taken down. He got taken down by Weidman early. He got taken down by Volkan, OSP. Jeremy Kimball took him down. So it's definitely there for the taking. I think Jones plays a bit on the feet and then takes him down, because he's getting close to the record for title defenses, and I don't think he wants to fuck around anymore after those last couple fights that were way too close for what they should have been. So I think he comes in and fights a smart game plan. So I took him by decision. I got that for a unit at +215, and then I took him by KO or decision at -120 for a unit.
Okay. Lance, your thoughts on the main event?
Yeah, I think the thing with John is, like, he fights to his competition. And when he's fighting guys like Anthony Smith or OSP, guys like that, he knows he can't lose. So he just goes out there and takes it easy. When he fights guys that are top level, weirdly enough, those are the guys he finishes. When you look at Daniel Cormier, when you look at Gustafsson in the rematch, he finishes guys that you don't think he's going to finish. And guys he should run right through, he just plays around with them. I think in this fight, yes, he is obviously supposed to beat Dominic Reyes. But I think people talking about his demise and people talking about how bad he looked in his last fight and Reyes talking all this shit, I think John wants to go out there and make an example of this kid. And John, he's a smart fighter who does dumb stuff. The Santos fight to me was kind of a mystery because he did dumb stuff pretty much the entire fight. But I think with Reyes, you know, John's going to know the easiest way for him to win and get the finish, to take him down, beat him up, and submit him. So I think, you know, after spending his last couple fights mostly on the feet, outside a little time with Anthony Smith, I think John's going to take him down. I think he's going to beat him up, and I think he gets a finish here. And Reyes just, I don't know, this guy's like, he's bugging me like Leon Edwards bugs me.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Trying to act like he's earned it before he's earned it, and like, I'm going to be a role model when I'm champ. I'm like, motherfucker, give me a fucking break. No one even knows your name. After you lose this fight, we're not going to hear your name again for a while. So I think John comes out.
That motherfucker lost to Volkan.
And I'm going to be a role model for the kids. Like, motherfucker, the kids don't know who you are. You can't be a role model if no one knows who you are. The fucking guy at Sandwich, you know, making
sandwiches.
You played at Stony
Brook, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's looking up to Stony Brook High School. Like, I'm sorry, but no, it's a high school. High schools could beat Stony Brook, probably. I just don't think this is very competitive. I think John is John. People act like John's 4 years old. He is 32 years old. He has not been in a ton of wars. He has not been hit over and over again a million times. John's in his prime, and I think after this, people are going to once again realize that.
I think he's in his prime too, and off all the bullshit for once in his life. I think he's finally clean too. I really do. The way he's acting
That's
and
cocaine.
Sounding. I think he's clean, man, and just that means something. A guy that great being just having a little bit more of an edge of not partying fucking every other day, not doing coke every weekend, that means something.
All right, I got Jonathan Dwight Jones, A++, Reyes, B+. You know, Jones is going to win this fight. The problem is that Reyes has the body type and the type of fight that we've seen from John too often, is that he's a long fighter. Jones will be tentative, and it'll end up becoming kind of like a slow paced fight where like John is like barely doing more than what he needs to win rounds, and he'll get rounds, but it's not going to be truly decisive. And the same questions will continue to come up about John's dominance and this whole thing. But at the same time, he wins the fight. He continues his unbeaten run, which is now, you know, closing on 30 fights. It's just frustrating because I feel that Jones could be a guy that just continues to get finishes, and he prefers or just doesn't want to take. Maybe it doesn't want to take the risk. Maybe it's just not motivated to really push and get early finishes. And further, just gain fans. I don't think he cares. I think he just wants to fight as long as possible and make as much money as possible. And the way to make the most money possible is to fight long and not lose. And that's what John Jones has become, and that's just the way it is.
I think it's how a lot of champions become towards the end of their careers.
You're trying to protect the castle.
I don't think that's John this time, though. I think there's some other factors that's going to make him perform a little different this time.
And I don't think it's money that motivates John. I think it's legacy.
Oh, absolutely.
More than anything that, yep. that motivates John.
If it was just legacy, he could retire tomorrow, Lance. I don't think anyone would doubt him.
Why would he, though? What's he going to do? I think it's for John, too. It's what keeps him out of trouble. Like,
yeah. He wants records.
Yeah, he already has all the records.
John doesn't have the title defense record.
Has anyone been 50-0? Like, there's always more to do, and I think for John it's legacy, and I think he wants to rack up wins, and I think he doesn't have motivation to finish because John just cares about winning. That's his thing. He's never been a guy that cares too much about getting finishes and things like that, and he's a dominant champion. But I think when John turns it up is when he faces adversity pre-fight. Everyone talked about how Gustafson gave him the biggest challenge he's ever had. So he came out and crushed Gustafson. Daniel Cormier.
You mean Alexander.
Cormier is talking tons and tons of shit before the fight. They have their animosity. So he comes out and finishes Cormier. Those are the guys he finished. And Reyes has turned it into that for Bones.
He's got it.
Along
with
the MMA media.
Yep. That's what I think. I think those are the other factors in this fight that's going to make it different than his usual performances. Reyes ain't the guy, though. However you think this fight goes, he ain't the guy, man. I can't believe so many people are – that's who they're picking. I remember not long ago Volkan working him. Volkan is better than Reyes, I think. But
well, I think how you put it, though, when you look at greatness in combat sports, it's people want to pick the big upset. People like, you know, with Joshua losing last year in boxing, like the people who called that had probably picked him to lose his last 10 fights. And you can see it with John Jones. You saw it with George St. Pierre. You see it with all the dominant greats, not the one-off champions who defend a couple of times, but the guys who are the all-time greats. People pick against them every fight and they find a reason why he's going to lose. And it's
a lot
never gonna
more
stop.
Now.
Yeah,
it's even more now with the whole Twitter age and social media. Yep, you see it a lot more now. And Sean's right with like the round scoring too. When great fighters fight these dudes and they're winning rounds, but they don't blow them out, everybody's looking for a reason to score a round for the underdog every single time. That Santos fight, the amount of people that said Santos won that fight is just fucking laughable. Them finding reasons to score fights, like you said, finding a reason to pick the underdog in the fight.
Yeah, well, when you think of the all-time greatest fighter, if someone's doing okay versus them, you see that as they're doing great because you weren't expecting them to bring anything. So if you're expected nothing and you bring a little bit, well, oh shit, he's looking way better than I thought. Yeah, you could probably give that round to him.
Well. That does it.
We'll end on that.
we all think John's going to retain. No one has come along yet to truly challenge him. Although, that's really it. I mean, no one's really come in. Like, when's the last time, there's been a John Jones fight where, somebody thought that, this could be a real challenge for John?
A lot of people thought the first DC fight.
That's the only one potentially. I was not one of those people, so I don't remember. Maybe the second Gustafson fight. There are some people based on the first one. That's about it.
No, Ryan Bader was the last time I picked Game of Thrones.
You picked Ryan Bader in every fight he's ever been in.
You
hasn't worked too poorly for
you
me.
Might have picked him against Rumble.
No. I laid off that one. Are you kidding? Do you see my Skype photo that I've had the whole time? It's a picture of Rumble. Rumble's in top five, you know, biggest hogs in MMA history.
Oh, is Bader in your mind?
Bader died when he went to Bellator because it's like, do I root for minor league baseball players?
Shit.
Not rooting for the Durham.
Wouldn't that be like Jordan down at, you know, Durham?
Birmingham?
Yeah, Birmingham.
I worked in that league for 3 years.
Well, you don't. What happens in the minor league stays in the minor leagues, Lance. Shouldn't be talking
some
about
weird
that.
Shit. Some weird shit.
I bet.
80-hour weeks.
A lot of bus rides.
That's full head of hair and goatee fucking years of Lance. We don't talk about those.
I was in Montgomery. My last summer single or summer I was single, the summer of Lance. The summer of Lance. Yep. Things got weird.
He was waking up in some strange places with the long haired fucking Hank.
Yeah. Oh God. Have him tell you about Razorblade suitcase one time.
Oh man, the stories with
this
that
random dude. Montgomery chick in the parking lot. Anyway.
Yeah.
Old Damascus.
Yeah, that guy's fucking wild.
All right. Well, that was fun, boys.
It was.
Next week we're in New Mexico.
Ooh.
It's not a terrible card. There should be some action fights.
Let's take a look at it very briefly.
There's some trash fights that are on the main card where the prelim has a couple actually good fights.
Diego Sanchez and Michael Perry.
That's the greatest fight ever.
That's gonna be fucking bananas.
Oh, Divashvili's back. Oh boy.
That should be like the main event.
Jimmy Miller versus Hot Sauce.
Yep.
What are they doing? That's the main event. Dan Medeiros and Venata. That should be fucking nuts too.
What's the main
event? Corey Anderson and Blachowicz is the main event. Sanchez versus Pereira is the co-main.
Man, yeah, that's got some fun fights on it.
Brock Weaver's on this card. What's Maniac the
main event next week?
Can't hear you. You're breaking up. Try it again.
Lance is dead.
That's amazing. Are we again? Can you hear me now? Is it back?
There we go.
Are you stroking? It sounds like he's having a stroke.
I think it's the storm must have fucked with the internet or something.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's just weird placements on that card. There's a bunch of good cards. There are a bunch of decent fights on the prelim, and there's
Dotson
a bunch of shit ones on the main card. Yeah.
Dotson, Borg, and Dashashvili buried on the undercard. What the fuck?
Yeah.
If I do the show next week, I gotta do Thursday.
Say what?
If I do the show next week, I gotta do Thursday.
Maybe.
Yeah, but are you actually gonna want to do this show? I mean, I guess if something crazy happens on 247, you might do it. All right. Well, we won't hold you to it, but if you can do it, we'll do it.
That would be a streak.
And do the fans want Lance on?
I go to my favorite city for like 24 hours next week, though, so that's fun.
What, Boston?
Denver.
Boston.
Oh.
Boston.
Of course,
I was in Denver
last Boston week. Is Lance's favorite city, right? What?
I've been traveling so much. I was Denver last week, Boston this week. I'm going to San Jose in 2 weeks. Like, I'm traveling like 3 times a month lately.
I'm not sure if San Jose is a city at this point, but that's fine.
San Jose's great. Great bar scene.
Yeah, it does actually have a pretty cool...
Downtown San Jose rocks. I mean, one of the biggest companies in the U.S. is there, so.
Yes, yep. That's right.
Cisco.
Yep.
We don't care.
$50 billion.
Lance, you're not going to be in L.A. the week of the 24th, are you?
I mean, you never know. Most of my travel comes up in 5 days. I do have a client we're working on in L.A. right now.
Well, if you get there at the same time.
What weekend is that? Oh, the 24th? No, that's the week I'll be in San Jose.
Jesus Christ. We'll be in the same state. God help us.
But I might, if this other thing comes through, I could work it out where I do both and just fly to LA from San Jose. So you never know.
Okay.
I'm going to be platinum medallion this year the way I'm fucking traveling.
Jesus Christ.
I'm already platinum on Marriott. But I'm trying to fly more Delta because I hate Southwest so much. It makes me want to die.
That's understandable.
I'd rather connect than fly Southwest.
Wow.
That's how much I hate Southwest.
That would be hate. And with that, let's see if the rain continues. And we'll be back next week. Enjoy the fight.
We were still recording during all of this?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the show. This is the product we're putting out.
That's what people want to hear. That's why they tune in. They want to know.
This is the product?
We could always cut it out, but we're not going to.
It's true.
It's very true.